All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. We began last week to look at verses 14 through 17. We'll read here again in just a moment. And we see three final areas where the gospel should affect our lives as believers. The first area we saw last week is found in verse 14. And we call it the gospel and our responsibility. Verse 14, where Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now tonight we're going to deal with verse number 15 and talk about the gospel and our availability. Paul says here, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And I trust that you'll be ready toward the middle and latter part of the message. We'll be turning to some other passages of Scripture, and I trust that you'll take time to turn with me there. But we'll begin tonight taking a look here. Paul stated that he was ready to share the gospel. When we look at the Apostle Paul's life, we see someone who was, as put in present-day terms, he was all in. You've heard that phrase, somebody being all in. Well, he was all in when it came to the gospel and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he expresses his eagerness here to preach the gospel in Rome. I mean, how more eager can you express it than so as much as in me is? I'm ready. just turn me loose. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. It was not him that was the holdup. It was the Lord had not allowed him to go at this point in his life. Paul's attitude toward both the gospel and Christ shows forth a confidence that we have already seen here in this first chapter of Romans, and that can be seen elsewhere in his other writings, as well as Luke's account of Paul's life in the book of Acts. Now, let's look at some things in Paul's life that show his availability to preach and share the gospel of Christ that can help us with our availability also. You know, we're to be available to the Lord and be available to share the gospel with those around us. First thing I want us to see tonight is Paul's availability is shown in his surrendering himself to God. In his surrendering himself to God. Remember at the time of his salvation? I mean, really before he even knew what the Lord wanted him to do, in Acts 9, verse 6, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then the Lord revealed to him what it was that he was going to call him to do. When Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road and came to an understanding of his own sinfulness and the Lord's great sacrifice for him, he surrendered to the Lord fully. And he didn't just pray a little prayer and get back to what he was before. The Lord brought forth a change in his life such that he was never the same again. He put his past behind him and was all in when it came to the gospel and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some folks have trouble getting beyond their wicked past, but not Paul. You would have thought that he would have had a hard time. I mean, he really persecuted the church of Christ. And I'm sure the faces of the many that he brought to be tried and those to be killed. I'm sure that the faces and maybe even some of the screams of them as they were being put to death probably haunted him a little bit, but it didn't stop him. If anything, it egged him on that he needed more intently to be preaching the gospel. And in fact, in Philippians 3, verse 12, he says, For I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He knew why he was apprehended by Christ. And that was to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is important. Paul surrendered even before he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, a lot of folks have the idea, well, you know, I want to find out what the Lord wants me to do, and then I'll determine whether I'm going to do it or not. That's not the way the Lord's will is supposed to be. They want to reserve the right to say no to God. The will of God is His best for our lives and should not be looked on as being optional by us. If the Lord called us to do something, we should do it. I mean, because that's the best for us. When the will of the Lord was revealed to Paul, he did not balk at it. He didn't argue with it. He didn't reject it. What he did was he embraced it. Amen? He embraced it because he was already surrendered to it even before the Lord revealed it to him. He was not like Moses, praise the Lord. You remember Moses, and when the Lord called him to service there at the burning bush, you remember that? And I remember how the Lord appeared to him. He came up with all kinds of excuses why he couldn't do it. I know why he'd be doing this. You know, I don't know what to say. They're not going to believe me or listen to me. I'm not a good speaker. I really don't want to do this. You know, he just kept one excuse after another, and the Lord just kept knocking them down. And what the Lord needed from Moses was for him just to surrender, and the Lord would be there for him each step of the way, but he was at best a reluctant servant in the beginning. I know he was, you know, all for the Lord later, but when he was first there at the beginning, Lord trying to get him to get motivated to serve him, he was having trouble getting Moses motivated. Amen. But Paul was not that way. Paul's availability is shown in his surrendering himself to God. Second thing I want to see is that Paul's availability is shown in his sanctifying himself unto God. His sanctifying himself unto God. Now, we know that word sanctifying means to set apart unto the Lord for His purposes. That's what it means. Or to set apart as sacred to God. A lot of times, when a church will build a building, they dedicate, the word dedicate and sanctify, same, holy, these words all come from the same. It means that we dedicate the building for God's use for what it's intended for, and that is the whole church in it. But it's the same as to make holy or to be holy or to dedicate. It also means to be removed from common use and to be devoted. Now, the Lord sanctified Paul first, just as He does each of us who are saved by His grace. If you've been saved, you have been set apart by God for His purposes. You have been sanctified by God. Even the carnal church at Corinth was sanctified. Paul said so in 1 Corinthians 1:2. He called it them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and he called them that before he railed on them a little bit for their worldliness and not really being what they ought to be. But Hebrews 10:10, the writer there says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So on God's part, we're sanctified once for all through Jesus Christ. When we got saved, we ceased to be our own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we're familiar with that. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now is when I want you to turn. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You can release Romans there. We'll not be back there. I may refer back, but I'll just quote what we're taking a look at. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We want to see when we got saved, we became the Lord's vessel for His use as He sees fit. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 8. Paul says here to the young Timothy, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Notice this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. So that holy calling, that sanctification that He put on us, is according to, not to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He says, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So, when we got saved, we became the Lord's vessel, and Paul very clearly lays out, hey, I am the Lord's vessel, and Timothy, you're to be the Lord's vessel too. And look down in chapter number 2 here. Chapter number 2 and verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. Notice this. And prepared unto every good work. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to be able to use me for whatever purpose He wants to use me for. You know? And we ought to want that in our lives, that we be the Lord's vessel for Him to use as He sees fit. Paul sanctified himself unto the Lord's purposes for Him. Look at Acts 26. Now, when you turn to Acts 26, we're going to be in this general area. We'll be coming back to it a couple of different times, so make sure you keep your place there in Acts. And I just lost one of my places. I don't know where that was at. We'll have to look it up in a minute. Sometimes my tabs that I use to mark my places, they run out of stickum, and I have to replace them with new tabs, and I just lost one there. But Acts chapter number 26, and we see Paul sanctified himself into the Lord's purposes for him, and he mentions this as he refers back to that day when he got saved. Look at verse number 16, Acts 26:16. He says, "But right, this is what the Lord told him." Let's back at verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." And here the Lord reveals the purpose. "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things unto which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And he goes on to talk about how he was not ashamed. Notice what he says here. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." And I want you to remember what he says there at the first part of verse 20, "but showed first unto them at Damascus." Now, where was he headed? He was headed to Damascus to arrest people, to persecute them. He got saved, and he went and preached to them instead. And we'll see that. But he says there, "For these causes the Jews caught me," there in verse 21, "in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing," notice both to small and great. You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't particular about who he was going to witness to. I mean, here he's standing before King Agrippa. You know, he'd stand before kings. He'd stand before potentates. He'd stand before the heathen barbarians. He spoke of the barbarians in the previous verse that we dealt with last week. But we see here that he was quick to take and preach. He said, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So he was preaching that Jesus is the Christ that would come and did come and gave his life a ransom, and that they needed to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So there was no question in Paul's mind about what he would do after the Lord saved him. And listen, there should be no question in the mind of any believer about what he or she will do after the Lord saves them. I mean, the Lord gave us his best while he was here, didn't he? Well, does the Lord know what's best for us? He does. And we should sanctify ourselves unto the Lord's purposes for us while we're here. And sadly, in my many years of church life and ministry, I have seen too many people who have failed to sanctify themselves unto the Lord's purposes for their life. And the result of that is that they live a life controlled by themselves, or sometimes they live a life that's controlled by somebody else. It might be a family member, like mom and daddy. You know, they're going to, I'm doing this because this is what mom and daddy wanted me to do. Well, what does the Lord want you to do? If the Lord called you to do something else, you need to obey the Lord instead of obeying what mom and daddy wanted you to do. And so, before we were saved, we thought life was all about us. And so we lived our lives accordingly, mostly selfishly unto ourselves. And at salvation, we should have come to an understanding that life is all about the Lord. Amen? It's all about Him. Christ is our life. And Paul told that to the Colossians in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. In Galatians 2:20, Paul talked about how the Lord was his life. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, just as the Lord has sanctified us unto himself for his purposes, we should sanctify ourselves unto him for his purposes. So Paul's availability is shown in his surrendering. Paul's availability is shown in his sanctifying. Third thing we see is Paul's availability is shown in his service for the Lord. Now, we'll turn back a few chapters there in the book of Acts to Acts chapter number 20, and we'll see verse 17 through 20 here. Acts 20, verse number 17. And Paul is addressing to the Ephesus elders just before he returns to Jerusalem here. And he says in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, notice what he says. He says, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I mean, he was busy about the Lord's work. Notice verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see there that Paul's availability is shown in his service. Look back in Acts 27. Turn back the other way. Acts 27 and verse number 22. Acts 27 and verse number 22. And this is when Paul was headed toward Rome. And they were involved in a shipwreck. There was a tempestuous sea voyage there. And the Lord gave him a vision of what was going to happen about that. And notice in Acts 27, verse 22, And now he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, that there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I mean, here they are being tossed out in the sea. The ship's about to come apart as he's speaking. He says, you know, y'all be of good cheer. We're all going to be okay. The Lord's going to show me that. And notice verse 24 saying, verse 23. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. So here, even in the midst of shipwreck, even in the midst of being bounced out at sea and just about to be in shipwreck, and he was going to be in shipwreck, he was concerned about doing the Lord's will. Amen? Because the Lord's will. Romans 1, verse number 1, we saw when we dealt with Romans 1, 1, Paul, he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, down in verse number 9 of Romans chapter 1, verse 9. A couple of different times there he talks about serving, just in that first chapter. And then Romans 12, verse number 1, later on in this book, Paul's going to tell the Romans they need to serve the Lord. Amen. He's going to say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in other words, what God's done for you, God has given His life for you, and based upon what the Lord's done for you in saving your soul and having mercy on your soul, you ought to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable service, not unreasonable. A lot of folks think that the Lord's called them to do something unreasonable. You'll never go as far as Christ Jesus went for us. Amen. He went farther than we will go. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, Paul's service is seen in several different ways. It's seen in his early preaching. I mentioned a while ago that he started out immediately preaching that Christ is the Son of God. Not going to have you turn there, but in Acts 9 and verse 19 and 20, it says, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I mean, he got his directions from Ananias. He ate some meat, got strengthened, and he went right straight to preaching. Right there at Damascus. And so Paul's service is seen in his early preaching. Paul's service is seen in his ministry as a missionary. We know Paul was a missionary, right? Luke records Paul's missionary journeys in the book of Acts. Paul's first missionary journey was with Barnabas in Acts 13 and 14, departing from Antioch and returning there again after they went through several different places there and they went back to report to the church that sent them out about their journey. And that's what our missionaries do today with us. They go and they preach the gospel and they come back and report to the church. His second missionary journey was with Silas in Acts 15. And to all the way to Acts chapter 18 and verse 22, Acts 15:36 to Acts 18:22, and his third missionary journey is in Acts 18 verse 23 over to Acts 21 verse 17. I'm not going to take and time to turn over there, but we saw three missionary journeys there, but that wasn't the final journey. He had one more missionary journey. Oh, he said, "Well, I only thought he had three. Well, he had one when he sailed to Rome." Okay, he was a missionary. The Lord had service for him to do as he was going along there. We just saw him preach to the mariners that he was riding the ship with. Amen. He testified whenever they shipwrecked on that island. Remember that? You know, he showed the glory of God there. But His arrest and final missionary journey was his voyage to Rome, found in Acts 21:18, all the way to Acts 28 and verse number 31. So we see there Paul's service in his missionary journeys. And then Paul's service is seen in his suffering for Christ. And I think this is the one where I lost my place. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. And we're not through with Acts, by the way. Don't turn loose of Acts. If you turn loose, that's okay. We're going to come back here in a little bit. But 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 24. We're familiar with this. This was where Paul talks about his suffering for Christ. He says here, and look at verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." You know, some in our day and time, somebody received that one time and said, "Well, I'm done with this. I didn't buy into this. You know, this is not what I bought into. You know, I'm done with the ministry." But not the Apostle Paul. He said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He says, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." I mean, we see that his service is seen and the suffering that he endured for Christ. And I don't know anybody who deliberately wants to suffer. However, as Paul served the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled his calling in the Lord, he came to know Christ better and more deeply through that suffering. In fact, in Philippians 3:10, he says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship." Remember that word fellowship means partnership. "The fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death." We know that the Apostle Peter also had something to say about suffering, and while serving the Lord. We're going to turn over there. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and then we'll be back to the book of Acts and we'll be done, okay? 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number, let's begin with verse number 19. 1 Peter 2, verse number 19. He said, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he could threaten not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And he says there, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Look at chapter number 3, verse number 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. So, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." He said, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Look down at verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Look at chapter number 5, verse number 7. Chapter 5, verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walked about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So Paul's service and even Peter's service is seen in the suffering for Christ. Look at Acts 28, and we'll see some verses here, and we'll be done. As we look at the last thing here that I want to deal with, and that is that Paul's service is seen in his final preaching in Rome. I mean, we're talking about him preaching in Rome, right? And he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. Well, he didn't lie. He finally made it to Rome. He made it to Rome here in Acts 28. And look at verse number 16, and let's read this. It says, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. In other words, he's basically under house arrest. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our father, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, talking about Christianity. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And folks have trouble sitting through 30 minutes of preaching anymore. Just really do. But look what it says, verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. He says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt, notice this, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Did he preach it wrong? He most certainly did. Preached for about right at 2 years there. And we see that he finally made it to Rome. He didn't get there the way that he thought he was going to get there. But when he got there, he was indeed ready to preach the gospel to those who were at Rome, just as he said in our text. And he, as was his custom, began preaching to the Jews first. When you see him in the book of Acts, that was the way he normally did things. He'd go to the synagogue, preach to the Jews first. When they'd kick him out of the synagogue, he'd preach to the Gentiles. And he would continue on. And even when he was under house arrest here in Rome, he continued to preach for 2 whole years. And he continued serving the Lord until the end. And he finished his course with joy, just as he hoped that he would do. And my, what a servant of God. Amen? Just a great servant of God. Let me ask tonight in closing, how is your availability when it comes to service for the Lord? Are you surrendered to the will of God for your life, whatever that may be? Have you said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? Have you sanctified yourself unto God for His purposes? Do you know and believe that the Lord knows what's best for your life, such that you have set yourself apart unto Him? Or do you see your life as being yours, and so you're trying to hang on to your life as much as possible? Are you actually serving the Lord and serving Him with joy? And no, just coming to church is not serving the Lord. You know, what you're doing right now, that's not serving the Lord. Do something for God. Doing something for the Lord and griping about it while you're doing it doesn't qualify as serving Him with joy either. You know, the Lord wants to serve Him with joy. Let's be available for God for His purposes, and let's live out God's will in our life, because His will is best. Amen. Let's pray.